Before we get started with today's show, I wanted to tell you about another great ESPN podcast. Laughter Permitted with Julie Foudy is back with season 6. From incredible conversations such as with 5-time Olympic gold medalist and 4-time WNBA champion Sue Bird to insights from Julie's life on and off the field, check out Laughter Permitted wherever you get your podcasts. Also, our annual opening night doubleheader is tonight, Wednesday, October 20th. Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the Celtics are at Madison Square Garden to take on Julius Randle, former Celtic Kemba Walker, and the Knicks at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Then, it's our primetime West Coast game, with reigning MVP Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets in Phoenix squaring off against Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and the Suns, last season's Western Conference champs. Two great matchups to tip off the NBA season on ESPN and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Tide. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. It is that time of week. We have a guest join us, coming to us live from scenic Bristol, Connecticut. Check her out on the MediaCom show with Lenny and NFL Live and SportsCenter. She got her own thing on SportsCenter now. MediaCom's is going on.
It's good. Happy to be here, but you know, I might take my ball and go home if you try to make me do drills.
I tell you this, Trent Dilfer wish he had taken his ball home. He looking at Cobb's dimes, mad as hell. He's like alliteration greater than rhyming.
I didn't come up with it. It's not my fault, Trent. I really actually, they're always trying to come up with new names using our name for segments, and that's the least offensive one I've heard of everything at ESPN. So I'll take it.
Yo, Ben Simmons, and they can't see how you have your name set here. It's Ben Simmons. Babysitter. It was only going to end in some form or fashion that was like this, right? But if you're going to throw a temper tantrum, throw a temper tantrum. I'm really disappointed in the lack of actual fireworks.
That's a great point. It's like he's being both passive aggressive and passive, and like there's no, in fact, if anything, it's kind of indicative of, I won't say who he is, but why he has so many haters, candidly. How he's handling this situation even is, like, I agree. Like, stand up for yourself, man. Don't pick up the ball, throw it at someone or something.
Let me tell you this, too. This is a different era. I want to read this word for word. So Robert Randolph, you've maybe heard Robert Randolph in the Family Band. So he's always got, like, great Knicks nuggets because I think he's cool with Dolan. And this is, listen to this. Anthony Mason once told me a story of a Knicks player tried to act like a baby once. That player was then punched by 3 different players as soon as he stepped on the practice floor. Riley didn't say one word. The 90s were a different time.
Okay, so I don't even know. I'm so funny. Of course, I'm here to talk NFL with you, but like this story has completely derailed my day personally, emotionally, spiritually.
And this is your wheelhouse. Like you and I talk about Ben Simmons all the time.
Speaking of you and I talking about him, what do you think the Sixers group chat is like?
Oh, they're just so done. It is amazing. We have a mutual friend who said he talked to somebody once, tried to get a handle on the Sixers, and was like, no, the issue isn't like, how does Joel feel about him? Is that none of us rock with him. Like he does not, there hasn't been, I can't think of, if you've seen it, let me know, but I ain't seen that Sixers teammate to come out and ride for him. And normally under these circumstances, there's one dude to be like, nah, y'all just don't understand him. He's a real sweet kid just trying to, no, they want him gone. All of them.
I actually think that really matters because it's not just about the fact that he can't shoot. It's about how he goes about his inability to shoot. The fact that he's not even trying, you know? But I don't want to speculate, but I feel like if he couldn't shoot, but he was trying, you would have teammates defending him. Don't you agree?
Yes, absolutely. They don't like what he stands for.
Yeah.
They don't like his fundamental essence, and I can't blame them. All of them, I'm just looking at this like he couldn't come back. Like Daryl Morey just did not understand. He couldn't come back. You couldn't let him walk back in the door.
We actually have the test case, which was Fultz. Like, everybody stood up for Fultz who couldn't shoot. They said, like, a perfect test case for the difference between how the teammates treat him versus Ben Simmons.
Yeah, right. They're just like, it's a little bit beyond his control, so forth and so on. They're looking at Simmons, and I really do think part of it with Simmons is not a superstar. He wants to be treated like a superstar, but doesn't want any of the burden, right? Like, there's other stuff that comes along with it. And part of that is people being sad when you don't play well. Apparently, it came out, and he said that he wanted to go somewhere where he was allowed to make mistakes. What? You think you aren't allowed to make mistakes? How good do you think you are?
You can't say that after you get the... It's so frustrating. Who trades for him at this point?
I don't know. Like, that's the thing. You had to do this early. Like, as quickly as you could, go ahead and get this done. I know Minnesota wanted him. And honestly, maybe I'm just spiteful. I'd have sent him to Minnesota just on the strength of. And then Minnesota would have had the joy of Ben Simmons and Karl Towns at the same time. That would be the least tough superstar duo, and not even superstar in either case, but you know what I mean. Just pillow soft in both cases.
Is Minnesota the equivalent of, like, sending Jared Goff to the Lions? Like, is that, you know, the northern wall of... I mean, Minneapolis is a cool city. I feel like there are worse NBA cities to be in. I'm not going to name them because I don't want people in my mentions yelling at me. People get real defensive about their cities, and I'm not interested in that. But just in terms of the team, the city, all of it, I think that might be the one.
I would just love to see him play with Anthony Edwards so Anthony Edwards could just get to that point where he just loses his mind at all of this. Just like, this how you do, huh? This you?
I enjoy him. I enjoy him a lot.
I love him so much. He is my guy. Like, that's the one. I don't know if his game is one that's going to translate into winning, and I don't care. I just want to enjoy it.
I don't care. Delightful personality. No, I love him so much. God, it's crazy, the opening day of the NBA season, and the NBA, in my opinion, could not have asked for a better storyline than a guy who's not playing NBA basketball. Is that like a good thing or a bad thing?
No, that's the problem. Like, I think Dominique said it best on the podcast last week. He's like, the NBA thought that all this social media chatter would make people watch basketball, and instead it just makes people look up news about NBA players. Like, that's the thing with him. He's not actually going to play basketball, so we can't watch him play basketball.
That's a really good point. This has been around for a while. It's not a fresh take that, like, the NBA offseason and the NBA gossip has perhaps subsumed the interest in the actual gameplay in the beginning of the season. But this story does feel like, this combined with the Kyrie nonsense, feels like it does emblematize that dynamic. Like, those are the two biggest stories in basketball, right now.
Yes.
That and the weird Ayton thing, which we don't talk about. I don't know what the hell's going on in Phoenix, but that seems like bad. That seems like a bad thing.
Yo, the thing about Kyrie and this situation where they do the handshake emoji is your coworkers are sick of your shit. That's where they come together. Your coworkers have just looked around and been like, nah, man, enough.
Yeah. Harden was the one where you could just tell he was broken. Just the look in his eyes, that man's eyes. You know, MBs, they've been at it for a while, but that was like the first time we've really heard from Harden, right? Yeah, you know, I'm a Nets fan, super fan, some say. So. I've been waiting to hear from him, and I actually appreciate, like, him and KD clearly just being so sick of it, so over it. I appreciate it, not just because it jibed with, I think, how we literally as a society we all feel about the situation, but, like, good for them. Get him out of the paint, you know what I mean? Like, at some point, you gotta, like, take it, like, this that part-time player. Call him that.
Right. Well, what happened was the moment that they realized, wait, this doesn't make any sense, right? Like, that's the thing to me that happened with Kyrie is... He goes and he explains where he's coming from. Like I told people, when Shams put that story out, they're like, oh, they ran that straight from Kyrie. I'm like, no, you have to understand. That is what Kyrie told people. Like exactly what was in that story is what Kyrie told people. Can you imagine sitting there and he tells you that and you're like, that's it?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, what's your stand? And also, by the way, like Kyrie took his time away from the team last year, from what I hear, for relatively, more legitimate reasons or whatever. But at a certain point, as a teammate, you're sick of it. You're over it. Like, I don't blame them.
Dog, when he asked for leave and coincidentally it was also his birthday, that is the moment that I would have been out. Like, right then and there. I was working with somebody who didn't show up to work because he went to a Travis Scott concert and kicked it all night and couldn't make it in. And that was the day you lost us, dog. Like, that was it.
I have a take, and I want to hear how you feel about this. Oh. I don't know if I want to air this out. I might make some enemies with this one. It's not a sports take. It's an interpersonal take. I don't respect adults who really care about their birthdays.
You're not here for birthday week.
Like, yeah. yes. When people are like, it's my birthday week. Men, women, anyone over the age of 30, I'm out. You're not a child. Nobody cares about your birthday that much.
Yeah, like I'm here for, if you want to do it up on your birthday or take a trip or whatever, I am totally here for that. When you expect everybody else to care about your birthday as much as you do, that's don't where care. We have the problem.
I don't care. And in our business, I don't want to shout out. I don't want to make a big deal on our shows. I don't want to. I mean, I'm a lady. I don't really need to, you know, people asking. But it's beyond that. Like, I just don't care. All you did on your birthday was you existed. It's not an accomplishment. We don't need to celebrate it. And certainly you don't need to skip your job for it, Kyrie.
Kyrie is just... I've said this before. I'm curious your thought about this. If Kyrie didn't take himself so seriously, we could enjoy this. Like, if there was an era of sports space cadets for a long time, I don't even know if we're allowed to call them space cadets anymore because the rules on the discourse have totally changed, right? But back in the day, we called them space cadets and they were normally fun. And so we could laugh and enjoy, like, even like Rod Artest. It was clear Rod Artest did not take himself seriously, even though his space cadet could go into dangerous territory. Kyrie takes his so seriously. Where is just the fun loopy guy?
That's such a great point. Like, yes, if he was just skipping work like Rodman, like, I would love it, even as a Nets fan. Even if it was actively bad for my basketball team, I would find it hilarious. But the fact that he's sort of retrofitting his absence into miscellaneous rationales, causes at this point with the vaccine stuff, it's both ill-advised. I mean, you've had long discussions about this. We don't need to get into, but it's also not enjoyable for me to listen to discuss. The jokes aren't even that fun. They could be so fun. Like, skipping away for your birthday is hilarious. Skipping out for this stuff is just not even fun.
Yo, and Joe Side, a billionaire, and I had somebody raise the question, why are you tolerating this in this way? But I think that he's a billionaire like a lot of them who just likes hanging around basketball players. Like, he thinks it's cool to be in that space. But that day that he went and asked them to turn the practice facility into an office by the law so that Kyrie could also practice, I was like, dude, you have no idea what's going on here. Like, there's no splitting of this baby. Steve Nash has just got to be over there furious as this goes on. Steve, I had to be an underdog at every turn and so forth and so on. And now we doing this for him? Because you know Steve Nash don't think Kyrie's as good as he was.
Oh, that's so true. I didn't even think about that dynamic. I also think the other dynamic is Steve Nash and KD are running this team. That relationship is the core of the Nets right now, and they're moving in conjunction with each other. So, of course, whenever the discussion was had that, like, all right, actually, as a team, we're going to put out a statement, we are moving on, this is over, you know that the decision came down to those two people.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the owner was involved and Marks and everything, but Nash and KD are running this team.
Yeah, but neither they nor the Sixers have, like, a grump. Like, you need a grump on the roster. You're Udonis Haslam type character. Because the thing is, the difference between the NBA now and when I was growing up is that everybody in the NBA now is good at basketball. Like, back in the day, you could just get by being a grump, right? You could be
an enforcer.
A grump. Right, yeah. Right. We miss the enforcer. Hockey. Like, this would not happy with the Miami Heat. We all know that. This would be a non-starter. If they had a Udonis Haslam on that roster and Ben Simmons tried any of that, he would have took him in the locker room and he'd have been like, there would have been a serious discussion that would have resulted either in Ben Simmons coming around, Ben Simmons crying, or perhaps both.
So I'm looking at the Nets roster and yeah, the big men are all friendly on this team or young. It's like Aldridge and Griffin who are obviously just like super nice. Claxton's a baby. Bruce Brown's a baby. By the way, did you see the Nets signed a, I almost don't want to say his name.
Are you talking about David Duke Jr.? We have to discuss this. And for those of you who do not know, there is a player named David Duke Jr. Just so you know, he is an African American. Okay.
How did it happen?
I think his people from another country. I think. Just guessing.
Which brave reporter? Shams, we don't need to hear about Kyrie and his quote unquote pro science reasons. Do some real reporting and bring us the story of how David Duke Jr. got his name.
Clearly, we know how. We just need to know how he didn't get another one, right? Here's what else I find interesting. I can't find a middle name anywhere because obviously the logical play for you would be to go by a middle name. I don't know how he's been willing to withstand this whole thing. So we've talked about this on the podcast before. There's something that this country used to make not a lot of, but a lot more of than they make now. And then one day, America just stopped making them. And that is Adolphs. this nation just stopped making Adolfs. Somewhere around the 1940s, the decision was made, we're not making any more Adolfs. How did this guy, I mean, family name or whatever, how arrogant do you have to be to do this bad enough that you had to be David Duke? Now you're going to pass it down?
His Wikipedia says he was born in Rhode Island. He played in Rhode Island. I mean, I still have so many questions. I played on a soccer team as a child, not a kid named Adolf, but the coach had a dog named Adolf, and it was a German Shepherd. And even as an 8-year-old, our whole team knew it was not right. I read it, but not only the coach, like now we're 8, you know, no one's gonna say anything. But I remember telling my parents, like an 8-year-old heat check, basically, being like, all right, you taught me a lot, you taught me right from wrong. This is wrong, right? I know it's a dog, but this is wrong. And they're like, yeah, we don't name your dog. Like, you should never use that name again.
Have you gone and found that coach's Facebook page? Because I That's imagine it has some incredible material on it.
Yeah, we are not Facebook friends. If you're listening, I'm sure he's definitely an avid listener to The Right Time. Don't find me.
Well, where were you living at the time?
Virginia!
Oh, yeah. That's bad news there.
It's not great.
But David, we got to give him a nickname. Sheets? Does that work? Like the Wizard, the Wizard is too easy. You know,
what
like
if he gets traded to the Wizards? We just have to call it. It can happen. Let's manifest it.
Somebody in the front office has to say, we're not going to do this. The Wizard David Duke, we're not going to do this.
Maybe they thought like, okay, so the dad's name is clearly David Duke because he's David Duke Jr. Oh, my God. I have so many questions. Sheets is a, I can't brainstorm nicknames for David Duke Jr. I feel like in a public forum. My mind is whirling, but my mouth is like trying to stop it right now.
Have you ever read anything about when Edwin Edwards ran against David Duke for governor of Louisiana, which led to some of the greatest political smack talk ever, including Edwin Edwards in classic Edwin Edwards fashion saying the only thing he and I have in common is that we're both wizards in the sheets? That's Louisiana politics for you, in case you need to know how Louisiana gets down.
That's amazing. They're based in Metairie, right? Metairie, I'm saying it right. Yeah. Just south of New Orleans.
Yeah, right outside New Orleans,
Right there, it's messed up. I only know that because, gosh, what year was it? You remember when Joe McKnight was killed?
Yeah.
So I was actually a reporter back then reporting on the story, and it was a big deal at the time. He was killed, you know, driving. It was the guy, dude got out of his car and shot him. Somewhat shockingly, actually was charged and indicted and went to prison. And I don't know what the deal is with his case is right now, but it was a big deal. I remember that he was crossing south of New Orleans and the actual crime happened. Parish, I think is right. They're the parishes. Mm-hmm. In the particular parish where it happened, and the people in New Orleans were explaining to me, it's a very big deal exactly where in New Orleans, which police department you're dealing with on account of the history of some of these areas. Sorry, that was a real tangent from David Duke Jr.
This is how this show works. This is how we go. Like, he's got to have a nickname. And but I also wonder, do his peers understand? Because David Duke is a name is kind of an antiquity for people of that age. Like, it's only when he meets grown-ups and they're like, huh.
Oh, his peers have no idea. No, David Duke. I don't mean that. I don't think anyone under the age of 25 at this point probably knows who David Duke is, right?
No, he hasn't come up. He has not come up. We have replaced him with other David Duke-like figures whose names they may perhaps know. But David Duke is old school for them. Like, asking them about David Duke is like asking them about, like, Chubby Checker, you know? Like, oh, he was a big star back then, huh?
What if Clutch signs David Duke Jr.? I feel like the nickname.
Oh, he'll have a stage name. If that happens, he'll have a stage name. Here's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to change your Brandon.
Oh, my God. Okay, so if David Duke Jr., if you're listening, please, or your family, I really want to know. This is all I think about when I see it.
Well, I have a problem with junioring your kids just on GP. Like, let them be themselves. Let them have their own identity. Like, I just think there's a certain arrogance to junioring your kids. Yeah, no, I just don't think that. I actually saw LeBron say something about this years ago that was interesting, that he did not think of the ramifications of naming his son LeBron James Jr. when he did it. Because he was just like, my dad wasn't in my life. I wanted to show, you know, like put my name on him, the pride. And then he realized, you know, there's a burden that comes along with that. Let your kids be themselves.
That's fair. But it's like, you're LeBron. At that point, you're already the most fit. Like, how does that not even... I mean, I get it.
He was like 20 when the kid was born, you know.
Even by then, he was already LeBron. I mean, you know, I get it. Yeah, there's no juniors in my family. So I get the instinct. I don't think it would be something. I mean, I'm a woman, obviously, but I don't really love it personally either.
Yeah, no, it's not. But and then you give him David Duke.
What other names are no longer like you do? You don't do Adolf.
Yeah, I don't know how prevalent Benito was, but I feel like
Benito,
they probably had to slow down
Mal.
On the Benitos. Yeah, yeah. I have a friend named Mal, though, because, like, thing about Mal is if you get to the more revolutionary sides, they have a completely different vantage.
That's
when
true.
It comes to Mal.
I probably just lost you advertising for the next, like, 50 years with that one comment.
Maybe have.
Probably
maybe
not,
have.
Not a lot.
Ain't
of...
a lot of Fidels in the United States, neither.
Attilas? We got any Attilas in Mongolia running around?
Yeah. Let's look that. Let's look. No, I hadn't thought about that. But, like, have you ever met a Fidel? Like, I feel like Fidel was a name that was out there. And I don't, you know, I don't know that world as well.
Fidel and Attila, though, some asshole couple in Brooklyn is going to go with
yes.
Tiller Fidel just because it sounds good and it's kind of old-timey, you know what I mean? It's going to be like, you know, Fidel Johnson or something, some
yeah.
poor kid in private school.
Like, we still got some Che's because Che is that type. I have one of my good friends named Che, and I brought him to Miami, and I brought him to the studio, and halfway up the steps, I stopped and thought to myself, and I said, you're going by your middle name today, buddy. That's not going to play well in this room.
You can Google, like, the birth date popularity. Have you ever done your own name to look at that?
I'm
sure Adolf hit a real cliff at some point.
Let's look this up right now.
Yeah.
Adolf name popularity. Oh, yeah, it takes a dip. The Huffington Post has six baby names that have tanked in popularity. Katrina, post-hurricane, fell off.
Ooh.
Caitlin, for whatever reason. I guess it's, I don't know, but Caitlin
sure.
fell off.
Yeah.
Monica apparently post like 1997.
Really?
Began to fall off.
Huh.
Isis, interestingly.
so that apparently. One, yeah, I get that one because you always see businesses named Isis. And
yes.
I feel like circa 2010s, that was a tough, yeah, a tough one.
What happened, they say here, is that Isis took a bump in the 70s because of some superhero show. So it like took a bump there. And then through the 90s and 2000s. It was my bad. I was thinking about ISIS in the way that they had intended, and I had completely forgotten about ISIS. I was like, why did that fall off?
There was a Korean church, I think in LA. It was an abbreviation. It was Korean words. I can't remember, but it had a giant sign that said MAGA. And yeah, that was a rough one for them. And they apparently had been around forever.
They're like, no, that's not what we mean. That is not what we mean.
They didn't ask for it, you know? I mean, young ISIS somewhere didn't ask for this.
All right, hold on. Wow, these are some pretty staggering Adolf statistics. In 1880, six baby boys were named Adolf. It peaked at 673 babies in 1917. And then nearing the end of World War II in 1944, only five U.S. newborns were named Adolf.
Five.
And I have all kinds of questions about those five's parents.
I bet they're not from here. Like, I bet it's, I don't want to, like, suggest ignorance. Maybe at least two of the five. But I bet we got some confusion going on. Or,
yes.
I don't know. Maybe I'm being generous.
It's like, what's the big, well, you know, the rapper Young Dolph, apparently he's an Adolf.
Is it spelled with a F?
With a PH. It's PH.
Wow.
Yeah. The F is just the extra mile in America. Like, that's not, like, we don't really do that here. Like, if you put the F on, you can't tell me you anything other than what it was.
David Duke, though. Is he good? Is he any good?
I mean, he's in the NBA.
He's in the NBA, yeah.
Yeah, like he's had plenty of time to address this, and there have been plenty of reporters who wanted to ask and just didn't have the heart. Like, this has been going on now. I might need to talk to him for this other project I'm working on. Like, bruh, like, they don't call you nothing? Nothing at all? Like, I remember when I was younger, we had a family friend, Nigerian cat, and he brought his two sons over. And one thing I always hated when I was growing up is people would hear my name and they wouldn't be familiar with it. And they would immediately try to hit me with, well, what do they call you, right? Or do you have a nickname or something like that? And that's just one of those things that I resolved that I was just never going to do, right? These boys came over to the house, Nikki May and Udeme Kong, and they went to Thurl High School in Atlanta. And for those who don't get the context, Anthony Edwards went to Thurl High School. So this should give you a little bit of a gauge on the populace. I didn't ask them, but I was real tempted. Like, yo, so what do they call you? I know that not all of your student body has decided they were going to put in the work to learn these four syllables with which they were unfamiliar. And that's how I feel with David Duke. So what they call you, man? Double D?
He could also go by Dave, although, yeah, he could go by Dave, and I like Dave Duke Jr., but it appears he doesn't.
Nah.
He's born,
I just can't see how this happened.
I don't understand it. Yeah, it really doesn't make sense. Like, at some point you get that changed, or like you said, you got a middle name, you start going by the middle name, and then sometimes people look up your full name and they're shocked and surprised. It's just such a decision.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yo, speaking of, you know, make our nice smooth segue into why we brought you here, things that don't make sense. Do people still try to harangue you about Josh Allen like they still try to get me?
A little bit. I took the L on that pretty early last season, like about halfway through. I was like, all right, this is clearly something's happening here that is historically unprecedented. But, you know, I have eyes. I see what's going down. It happens a little bit. We were talking before the show about, like, the ones that would be, like, I think Daniel Jones would have been worse for me. The thing that bothers me is when people say, you clearly didn't watch him. It's like, yeah, I did. I literally did. I spend time for the draft watching college players using our Mountain West or whatever tape that we don't watch during the regular season. And I truly did not believe he would be good. I'll own that. Clearly, he improved in ways that I did not foresee. It only bothers me when people say, like, this is what you get for box score watching. No, I actually watched him play.
No. Like, the thing that got me was, because I was, I mean, again, it was historically unprecedented. But yeah, I think it was last week when Robert Saleh came out and said the thing, you know, because Josh Allen's going to be the new when your young quarterback is struggling.
Oh,
well, hey, look at Josh Allen. And I'm like, look, Zach Wilson is just not as talented as Josh Allen is. And then I had all these people, because people think they playing gotcha, who went and searched my tweets and like, ooh, look at you saying Josh Allen is terrible. Like, really, you had to dig to find that? Like, I don't think you guys understand. This is a discussion we've been having. But I never said he wasn't talented. I said he would get somebody fired and I could understand why. But I thought he was going to get somebody fired. Now, I've never seen anything like this. And I've realized part of it is he's so comfortable in the pocket because he is unafraid of anybody with the jersey number under 50. If your number's in the 40s.
These days, though, you got eights and nines wheeling in there.
But see, I still say he's unafraid of those because those are people that still think they're running backs. You know what I'm saying? Those are still people who still think they play those other positions. Like, you got to send a killer to go get Josh Allen.
I was thinking about that watching him, not the sneak against Tennessee, but the play before. He was down just short at the goal line, thinking like, man, if you're a DB, that dude coming at you, flying through the air, your whole life is flashing before your eyes. Other than Cam Newton, who is really comparable in recent history in terms of size, power, speed, all of it? Just, I feel the same way about him that I do about Cam, where you don't worry about him getting hit. He hits people,
yes.
You know? And I can't think of anyone. I mean, it's crazy.
Culpepper's the only other one that comes close. That's it.
It'll be interesting to see, as far as like the whole discourse and what you and I are talking about, which is draft evaluation, talent, and projection, and perhaps how Allen might have kind of screwed things for people. I have not watched Malik Willis football tape this year. I've heard it's really impressive. I've seen highlights on my timeline. I am totally reserving judgment until I actually watch some games. Actually, they're playing Ole Miss, I think maybe this week or the coming. So I'm going to try to watch that one because I want to watch him and Corral because, you know, the quarterbacks. But he is an incredibly physically imposing person. I did get a chance to just watch him throw at Elite 11 this summer. He's not as big, yeah, height-wise or whatever, but that dude is a tank. I'll be very curious to see whether the success of Allen and Herbert, who is kind of a lesser degree of Allen in terms of like toolsiness, whether that ends up boosting his draft stock because other coaches think they can do what Buffalo did. And I say that with a lot of ignorance because I haven't actually watched Willis this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is a quarterback year all the way around, right? Like, it's just so many interesting quarterback things that are going on with guys like Kyler Murray is looking MVP-ish out here now because he got two dudes that are always open, right? Like Hopkins, he's always open. AJ Green, he's pretty much always open. And then the Roadrunner just beep beep running around and whipping the ball around.
So cute. So cute when Kyler throws to him. Isn't it just cute? What an adorable... Is that the... I mean, well, there's been some little guy to little guy. That's... I think they're going to break records in terms of little to little production, though. I love when he throws to him. Yeah, Kyler's is just absolutely absurd. I like watching him play, but I also find it fascinating just the amount of torque he's able to get from such a tiny little body and how twitchy he is. He's... I'm being so hyperbolic today, but that, I think, is unprecedented. Like, you know, Russell Wilson's small, but he's dense. Kyler's so pint-sized, and he has such a strong arm. It's, like, just physically really interesting to watch.
Yeah, I never thought that he could be this good. I just didn't think a player that size, but I just greatly underestimated what a physical talent that he was. Like, because what I had a hard time shaking out of my mind with him was his freshman year when he was at Texas A&M. He just looked so small out there with everybody else. Like, there's another guy, I'm trying to think about who it is. Oh, Tua. That's my issue with Tua. When every time I look at him play, I'm like, wow, everybody looks so much bigger than you. I don't know if I'm being fair in, like, where I put that in the calculus, but that's not a plus.
It's not a plus. I mean, Kyler's size is a hindrance to him. You see it. I was just watching the touchdown to Christian Kirk where he sort of slides out of the pocket, and it's like a scissors concept with Kirk and I forget if it was Hopper Green, but he hits him in the end. It's the first touchdown of the game. He has to slide out of the pocket. It's because he cannot see. He has to create his own throwing lanes. That is why there aren't small quarterbacks succeeding in the NFL. It's not because we hate short people as a society. It's because it is literally physically harder to play the position. It's why Russell Wilson doesn't use the middle of the field. But the thing with Kyler is he does that. And go back and watch this throw if you're listening and you'll understand. He does that, and then a normal human being would not be able to hit that throw rolling to his left because of physics. But because he's able to generate the sort of torque I described and make those little flicks from any angle, moving in any direction, he's able to overcome his size. It does not mean short people are going to now succeed in the NFL. Like, it's really, really hard to play. You got 6'5" plus people standing in front of you. It is very hard, but it's very fun to watch him.
Now, you talk about coming around on Josh Allen. I know the moment when I was like, oh, okay, something's happening. And it was that game against Arizona. He threw a pass in the corner to Stephon Diggs in the front corner of the end zone right at the pylon. And I was like, oh, that's the best pass of Josh Allen's career. And then Kyler Murray came back, and that Hail Murray throw that people talk about, as I recall, he was rolling left and then just popped that thing off in the air. And I was like, what is this?
How you doing that? It doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's crazy. But so many of them can do that now, man. Like when Herbert throws it, it's crazy to me. I don't know what kind of genetic mutation suddenly hit America's future quarterback children, but these guys, a lot of them, even, by the way, some of Lamar's sidearm throws this year are really spectacular. It feels like quarterback play in the NFL right now just physically is at a place that I cannot remember. Like, there's been guys who have dazzled, obviously, throughout the years with different skill sets, but right now, the confluence of arm talent and then the fact that play callers actually know what to do with them is unprecedented to me.
Hey, man, you mentioned Lamar. You and I have been willing to walk back our Josh Allen. What's it going to take with these people on Lamar Jackson? Like, they don't have running backs this year. He is the running game. And on that Monday night game, what did he do, for 440 yards?
They don't have running backs, but how about Devontae Freeman suddenly looking like 2015 yes. in that Ravens run scheme? You got to think every old washed running back in the NFL is watching the Ravens and like calling their agent like, I don't know, I don't care what it takes. Get me on that practice squad. Lev Bell goes down, put me in. Adrian Peterson is probably standing outside the facility right now just begging to get in. He's playing out of his mind. I love it. I think, like, just it feels also, I don't know if you feel this way watching them. Not only is he playing really well as a passer, but their whole passing game looks a lot better to me conceptually. It doesn't feel like a bunch of guys like running the exact same route at the same time. Mark Andrews, the way they're using him, he looks better than ever as well. I was really excited to see Rashad Bateman, who I really like, get in there. I think this is, like, sustainable. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, the patience, because I've always thought that Lamar did not get nearly enough credit for, like, he's not a pocket passer. Now, they don't run the same kind of passing game that you're used to seeing, but standing in the pocket, he's been doing that since he was a sophomore in college. Like, there's been no question about that. But especially in these last couple games, like, they destroyed the Chargers. And I just watched him. He's just like, I am in control of everything that goes on here. And there's not much that you can do with it. It was a bad pick that he wound up throwing. It looked worse than it actually was, but it did look awful. I mean, it wasn't good, but it looked awful. But, man, he's just dicing people up at this point. And, you know, having Bateman helps, but he's still not out here throwing to the greatest show on turf, right? He's still throwing to dudes.
Yeah, that's why, God, now that I'm part of the take complex here where we're constantly have to doing the MVP thing every week. I have him above Dak and Kyler. I think that's a pretty clear top three. Brady's kind of in the mix, but Dak's playing behind the best offensive line in the NFL with an insane array of weapons, and I think the best play calling, by the way, of the three by far. Kyler has a really good group of weapons as well. Meanwhile, you're right, like Lamar Jackson, I think, is like so much more valuable to that team than any player to any team in the league. I know that's not how MVP gets picked every year. It's just who's the best team or whatever and best quarterback, but he carries more on his shoulders than any player. And then, of course, what he does for the run game, which we've been discussing, doesn't compare.
Yo, by the way, while I'm thinking about it, what the Raiders going to do now? Like the special teams coach, they went out and they won that one for the Gipper. But, like, this whole thing's supposed to be about John Gruden. The Raiders, like, I was just like, oh, wow, you guys still play. I had almost forgotten.
Who do they have next on their – I knew they would win. Okay, so they got the Eagles and the Giants. So that
– oh!
They could rip off a little streak here. Yeah, and then the schedule gets a little bit harder because they got the Chiefs, Bengals, and Cowboys. But – I don't know what the move is. I mean, they're probably going to stick with special teams for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but it's still so wild to me that Mark Davis had to be made to fire him. He wanted John Gruden to be the coach of that team so bad.
It's kind of like you get to be like the richest dude and you hire the person you like want to be, or like the person you want to be your best friend. And then America, essentially, because you're right, he didn't want to fire. I mean, he was up against it. I don't know. I don't know how as a fan you can feel good about the direction of that franchise, even with Gruden out of the picture, because of the decisions made by ownership.
Yeah, because I think that Mark Davis, I think he was self-aware enough to know that he was not his father, and thereby he tried to go find a new Al Davis that they could build everything around, right? A new personality. And as I thought about it like that, I don't want to say it justifies the contract that they gave him, but it makes a lot more sense. Like, I am paying you basically to be the guy on the helmet, right? You should be coaching every game with an eye patch on because you are the living, breathing representation of this organization. Like, that's what they brought him in for. And then that whole thing just went to whatever. Like, it's wild. It's almost now like that never happened. Like, we are talking now fewer than 2 weeks since the first news broke. And now it's just like, okay, John Gruden's going up. That's football, right? Up, next man up. They call next man up, and then we keep it going. Taylor Lewan looked like he almost died on the field. We go to commercial, roll him out, he thumbs up. Then we play the rest of an exciting game.
I hope you weren't watching Seahawks Steelers, but if you were, there was a brutal injury in that game to Daryl Taylor, who it appears is fine. But look, I've been an analyst for years now, but a fan my whole life, and it is, I don't know how we are all so conditioned to move on from things in football so quickly, ranging from scandal to injury, everything. I think a lot of it is because there's a level of investment in the product itself that is unrivaled by any American sport. People might disagree with me. I think people care more. This actually kind of touches back on the beginning of our conversation with the NBA and how much drama drives the league. Football is not driven by drama. Football is not driven by big stories. It's not driven by important real-life issues. Football is driven, NFL football is driven by football. Maybe college football as well. You can speak to that. And I think because it's so overriding, it will ultimately crowd out anything that happens in a way that doesn't exist in some of these other sports.
Let me tell you, that's a money quote, and that is how we're going to wrap this here. That is Mina Kimes. Check her out on the Mina Kimes Show with Lenny. That's her dog, just to make sure you understand. Lenny is the dog. You also catch her NFL Live, SportsCenter, Debatable. Hey, did I miss anything?
First Take, a little bit.
Oh, that's
take.
Right.
I dabble in the dark arts these days.
That's right. You be bringing it to Stephen A, too. Stephen A show you the respect, though. Like, it's a recognition that, like, yo, I might need to listen a little bit on this one.
I'm doing my best. I know you miss Lenny, by the way. I know you miss seeing him on TV.
I guess I do. Like I say, I got no problem with Lenny. I just wish he had named him anything other than Lenny.
That's true. You now are really connecting it to the show.
Yes.
Huh? It's better than Adolph.
Fair point.
Really quick, before you let go, man, I just wanted to give a shout out to my friend Rodney, Papa Rod. He's a musician. He's a big fan of yours. And if you're listening, go check out his album. He's a listener. I meet our listeners all the time, but he's the one I wanted to shout out.
That's what's up. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this about 3 times a week. Gabe Brassaint and Dave Presley handle everything behind the scenes. Thank you, gentlemen. Remember, follow The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are a hater. And we'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or follow on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.